singles off of.
This is Mac DeMarco. Prepare yourself for some of the best music you will ever experience.
Listening to TV on the radio here on BFF.FM. Loud enough. That was Blood Witch with Fly. Leah, do you remember your first Blood Witch show?
Yes, of course. And the powerful summoning spell we did beforehand. Yeah.
That was from the, I'm sorry, this is TV on the radio if I didn't say that already. I'm Jessica, right. And I'm here with Leah. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning.
That song was from the show I Am Not Okay With This. I think Blood Witch is a fake band, but they did the entire soundtrack.
Yeah, so they nailed it.
Quite a feat.
Yeah.
This I Am Not Okay With This is a Netflix original.
Mm-hmm.
Co-created by Christy Hall, I think, and John Entwistle, mm-hmm. who also created End of the Fucking World.
Yes.
Based on a graphic novel by Charles Forsman, who also mm-hmm. did the graphic novel End of the Fucking World.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, you can kind of feel it's quite a...
Yeah.
Kind of a similar vibe. Yeah, what did you think?
I loved it.
I loved it too.
I was really, really into it. When it ended, I immediately wanted more.
Yes.
This is the one show that we talk a lot about. Does it need a second season?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I absolutely must find out what happens. And I'm willing for any direction that this show is going to take me in. It stars Sophia Lillis and Wyatt Olaf.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly made up name. But... those two kids are supernova stars.
Oh my God.
They are so magnetic, especially Wyatt Olaf. He's could not get over that kid's portrayal of Stanley Barber.
So the show follows Sydney, played mm-hmm. by Sophia Lillis, who, as she, you know, she's 17 years old mm-hmm. and she is full of rage, as like part for the
out.
Course. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk about teen girl rage. But finds that she also has telekinetic powers
mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
are pretty much, she's having trouble controlling them or understanding them. So it's kind of a, it definitely has allusions to Carrie.
Yes.
The show opens with her running through the town in a blood-soaked formal dress, and that foreshadows what happens at the end. But yeah, I loved it too. I think she is just so great,
mm-hmm.
like such an amazing acting performance. She was really sweet and full of rage and confused and vulnerable and loving. And
yeah, and really, I do not mean this in a negative way at all, but like very mousy.
She reminds me of Ellen Page a lot.
Yeah, kind of. I felt that this, I can't remember what episode it was, but there was one episode where she did something that seemed so natural for that character, and I was thinking, that was an acting choice.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And it just, this show really played to her not ordinary looks. I mean,
yeah.
She's beautiful, but the show really, I don't know, I just thought the show tapped into being young and trying to find your place in the world and
right.
having all this potential power that you absolutely mm-hmm. cannot control.
Yeah, it let her be awkward.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the awkward teenager in a teen drama of a different era would be, like, Brenda Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, still stunningly beautiful.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
and trying to convince us that she's the oddball
outlier
out
yeah.
in high school, in the clique. But, yeah, she did have a quite awkward presence. I think maybe that haircut is on trend now for teenagers
mm-hmm.
because they are all like trying to dress like our moms dressed in 1983. But
yeah.
It's kind of a awkward haircut.
Yes. Yes.
And yeah, her styling was just very kind of dowdy.
Like, which I also do think is very on trend for teens
yes,
now. I'm like, this is just the... There were many times during the show that I was like, is this from Can't Buy Me Love? Like Wyatt Olaf sort of reminded me of a young Patrick. Whatever that kid was.
I would have remembered
McDreamy,
it.
McDreamy, whatever.
Right, right. TV's Patrick. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Whoever that guy is that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Kind of reminded me of that. There were clear allusions to The Breakfast Club, I think, with
yes.
the detention episode. And Carrie, obviously.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's this harkening back to the 80s? And then I was thinking... No, it's just come back around. Just
yeah.
slightly different, a little
tweaked. Yeah, I mean, a lot of shows that we watch do that now.
Mm-hmm.
They all, like, they take place in the present.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't try to... I think this show had cell phones in it. But yeah, like, they're all styled like it's 1983.
Yeah.
Which I think is partly, so they can have these heavy-handed allusions to, like, John Hughes films
mm-hmm.
and Carrie and whatever. But Also, yeah, it is on trend with, like, if you go to Urban Outfitters, that's what it looks like too.
Okay. Have not been in an Urban Outfitters. I coffin dust just flies off my body the second I walk into an Urban Outfitters.
I pop in every now and then just to be deeply confused by what's happening around me. But yeah, so, and she, her neighbor and friend and the guy who is in love with her is Stanley Barber,
mm-hmm.
played by Wyatt Olaf.
Olaf.
Who is, I at some point was watching it and in my head I was like, this kid is a star.
Mm-hmm.
And then later my husband sat down and was watching it with me and he said, that kid is a star.
Yeah.
Like, he just is totally magnetic, like does such a, I mean, part of it is that I think maybe both of us have a deep weakness for like the high school weirdo character who sees the girl who feels invisible and he appreciates her power and instead of being intimidated by it. So it's easy for me to fall in love with a character like that. But this kid really just brought a certain spark to this character.
Yeah.
And do you know how old he is as we sit here in this moment?
Is he 24?
He is 16 years old.
What?
I know. I mean, not that he looks like a 16-year-old, but he brings like a sort of wisdom to his.
Yes, to his, I am very surprised by
that. I was shocked. I mean, I thought maybe he could be 22 or 23.
Yeah. What age is Sophia Lillis?
She's only, I think she just turned 18. Also very young.
Wow. Casting actual teens as teens.
I know.
Unheard of.
Yeah.
It's a brave new world, guys. Harvey Weinstein's in very
Rikers
fancy
Island.
Hospital. And,
oh, right.
And teens are playing teens. Wow.
Yeah.
Shocked.
I know. Anyway.
That kid is a star. If he is 16 and he has that kind of magnetism.
Yeah.
Wow. If we can unleash Wyatt Olaf and his powers for good on the world, then.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great.
Yeah, he's been acting for a while. I don't remember what, but I looked at his
They both
IMDb
were in It.
Yes. Are you going to watch It?
I'm on the fence.
I had no interest in that, but now that I know they were both in it, I'm kinda, I feel like I have to watch it.
I don't know.
The scary clown, though.
I don't either. And should I just watch the second one? Were they both in the second one?
I think
I heard
they
that
were,
was
but
the
I think they have
one.
Lesser roles. In
oh,
the
but the
one.
Second one also has Bill Hader.
Oh, really?
I guess none of you guys need to be here for this. We can talk about this off air.
No, it's fine. If you guys have an opinion on whether or not we should watch It, despite the scary clown, why don't you tweet at us?
Or It 2, The Itening, or whatever it's called. It's It.
We. Oh, that's good.
That's good, right?
We will never get through a show without saying something to the something.
Yes.
But that's okay.
We are the greatest sequel namers of our generation, Jess. I think we've established that.
Anyway, Stanley Barber, amazing. You know I love a man in a cardigan. Or
that brown cardigan?
Yes.
Took my breath away.
Me too. With the sailboat t-shirt. Oh. I spent like an hour yesterday trying to find a picture of that outfit because it is, I want the whole outfit top to bottom.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah. Gentlemen, do yourself a favor. Try on a cardigan.
Yeah.
You look great.
Yeah. I will say I do have a problem with the oversized pants.
Oh, yeah. Those pants were upsetting.
The khaki, like,
yeah,
blousy pants. It's not a good look for anyone. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like I was anti-skinny jeans when they came in, but now I've just been, that's where my brain is.
Well, there's
now.
Somewhere in between skinny jeans and, like, circus tent khakis.
Yes.
But maybe the thrift store in wherever the fuck Pennsylvania is lacking at the moment. But, yeah, so... her rage begins to manifest as telekinetic powers
mm-hmm.
that she can't quite control. And
mm-hmm.
she, it's kind of turning into this cyclical problem because she is getting more and more anxious about controlling these powers
mm-hmm.
and her anxiety turns into, you know, the library blowing apart or whatever. And I thought that was such a great way to you in particular talk a lot about the power of being a teenage
mm-hmm.
girl and how you have this sort of you have these powers that you don't even quite understand.
It's truly an untapped resource.
Yeah.
And the patriarchy has absolutely for years been so in fear of the power of teenage girls that they're pathologized, they're sexualized
uh-huh.
far too young. and reduced to this very simple thing. And I thought that this depiction of that as like a physical manifestation mm-hmm. of this untapped power that you don't know what to do with and need guidance for was really great.
Yeah. I also liked, I read a review, I think in Salon, that pointed out that this is one of a recent spate of shows like Pen 15 and Big Mouth that depicts mm-hmm. female, like teen girl rage in a way that kind of respects it and mm-hmm. Understands why young women can be full of rage instead of just reducing it to being like a sullen bitch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You've got your period for yeah, the whole show.
Right. Which I kind of connected with that because I remember just being so fucking yes. angry as a teenager. Yeah. Just like full of rage and like censoring myself because like you do get labeled a sullen mm-hmm. bitch. And I was a sullen bitch, but
but it's yeah, it's.
But you're yeah, it's, no one. It's just labeled as like this hormonal thing.
Yeah,
which partly it is, but
well, and it is tamped down, and from youth, really, you're taught to be a good girl,
right?
And all this,
and men have this outlet, like you can play football or you can be angry because it's okay for teen boys to be angry, but it's not okay for teen girls to be
yeah
angry.
Yeah, and men are still the ones having the conversation and setting the norms mm-hmm. because patriarchy. But but that's a whole separate thing. But yeah, it's I really do think that it is just this wild time in a girl's life, and it's really it is amazing to see these shows respect that as something that is a true force. That's not just about being a sullen bitch. And the thing that's so attractive about the Stanley Barber character is he's this kid who is in awe of that, who mm-hmm. sees it and doesn't want to co-opt it, doesn't want to squash it, isn't right. threatened by it, is wholly accepting and supporting of her mm-hmm. as this weird, rage-filled
a superhero.
He's
yeah. the one who labels it yeah. superhero power. Yeah, she so sees sweet. It yeah
so sweet yeah he yeah it was amazing. There's one scene, it starts out where they have sex, they hook up mm-hmm. and then Stanley Barber is obviously in love with her and she it turns out is gay and
well they don't I mean well, I think yes she's a lesbian
or
but bisexual, they don't but. Really they kind of they imply that heavily, but it's not really they don't make it a binary thing.
No, like, it's definitely not. She's just not into him that way.
Right. And I think it is because she's attracted to girls. But I like that they don't sort of like lock it down into mm-hmm. her. It's not a coming out story.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, about who she's in love with. She's in love with her best friend, Dina.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, anyway. But yeah.
But they get together and have sex and he wants this relationship to continue and he finds out that she has this superpower mm-hmm. and there's a scene that is so touching where she is trying to tell him something and he said, you can tell me anything, you know, I've seen you. And I was like, oh, here we go, like I've yeah. seen you naked. And he said, like, I've seen you move things with your mind. As if that's like knowing that that's like mm-hmm. the most intimate
yeah
like just recognizing this person as somebody separate of the fact that they have had sex.
Right.
Like, it's not through the lens of what she has meant to him. Mm-hmm. It's just recognizing her as this, like, powerful being. And, God, like, how different would your life be to have a 16-year-old boy accept you? I think that a yeah. lot of my... A lot of the things that I'm touched by are that depiction of males being accepted.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's just.
It is very powerful to like.
And it's so, I don't know, it's so hopeful and wistful for me. I'm like, oh, God, maybe there is such a different way to be. Because yeah. I just remember, yes, being filled with rage, but also craving that attention or acceptance from a boy in a way that wasn't just like, oh, I'll make out with you and yeah. then like go rejoin my friend group or what. Yeah. I just, I don't know, just being able to have a formative.
Being seen as a human.
Yeah. Having a formative. Yes. Having a formative, like substantive conversation filled relationship with a teen boy just seems so foreign to
me. That's what makes me wonder if these depictions of like sensitive teen boys are just too easy because it's like, it's such a fantasy. I've always fallen for that kind of character, yeah. like Holden Caulfield.
Yeah.
and one of my favorite movies as a younger person was Igby Goes Down, mm-hmm. which stars a young Kieran Culkin.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, it's a great fucking movie.
God, there's yeah, so many this, untapped like, Culkins out there.
Sensitive little fuck up who, yeah, is at heart, like just, you know,
yeah.
a good, anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, it's a very easy character to fall in love with.
Yeah, because.
It's not real.
Whoever had that modeled in their real life. But the thing, there was another scene in this show that really got me where I was thinking, you know, this is, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but the scene that really got me was, you see the connection that Stanley and Sid have, and there really is this deep respect and love and understanding mm-hmm. between the two of them. And he's this like weird kid who, you know, wears a baby blue tux to yeah. the homecoming dance, and they get in a fight and he invites somebody else and it's just some random chick mm-hmm. and you see them interact and he's doing the same things that he was doing with Sydney and what yeah. felt so natural between the two of them is so weird to this other girl yeah. and it's not anyone's fault. It's not, that's just life. Like some people will get you and some people won't.
Yeah.
And it's about finding those people. And that's my thing. I'm like, oh, I missed my opportunity to like, I did give a shit about the like rugby player guys. And like, I should have been
yeah.
talking to the weirdo, like, you know, yeah, it's this yeah. strange, wistful, like, I want to go back and do it over and see how that would have shaped me, because yeah. I do think that my one piece of advice for girls is ignore men for as long as you can. That's where it all went wrong.
Yeah.
And
certainly don't derive your self-worth from their attention.
Yeah. And just having somebody like Stanley Barber, I'm like, oh, that would have changed so many things for
yeah.
me. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
I would certainly have a better wardrobe to date.
I know, right?
Would have taken more fashion.
Yeah, that's
risk,
the other thing is like, it's just sure. like such a, I don't know. It also feels like a fantasy to see that teenage character who's like so cool because he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know, like both of them in a way.
Yeah.
Like, they're both cool, but they don't realize it because they're yeah. surrounded by jocks and cheerleaders.
Yeah. Stanley Barber. I don't know why I keep referring to him as Stanley Barber. Mr. Stanley Barber. There is a scene where they're watching a football game and he's talking about, he has this self-awareness that teens don't have about mm-hmm. how there's a bigger world
yes.
out there and you're going,
I love that moment.
You're not going to feel oppressed by this stupid town because he has an innate sense that there's more out there for him. And
yeah.
I think to have that is amazing as a teen because I think a lot of people don't have that, and
yeah.
they are looking forward to is their 5 and 10 year reunions because yeah. they have nothing else going on in their life. The show is set in Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
which was really thematically kind of creepy, and
I couldn't quite put my I loved the aesthetic of
yeah.
the show. It was like there was a cuteness to the town, but also sort of a menacing
yeah.
feeling to it. It did feel kind of Stephen King.
Yeah, washed out kind of.
Yeah, like kind of a brown color palette. Yeah, it was, I don't know, it was really beautiful. Apparently, this is kind of an aside, there, you know, every fucking headline has to be clickbait garbage, but it apparently there was a couple tiny hints that it shares the universe with End of the Fucking World, which took place in England,
mm-hmm.
but there was, and the article didn't show this, which stupid, but there was like a newspaper headline that referred to James and
oh, really?
Alyssa. Yeah.
Okay.
So That's what you call an Easter egg. That's an actual Easter egg.
Okay, great.
But yeah, it does have sort of a similar feel aesthetically, although that would suggest that supernatural powers exist in the universe of End of the Fucking World, which that's a complicated.
It was just straight murder. It didn't seem to be supernatural. No. Let's talk about her, I was going to say kinesthesiology, but her kinetic energy. Let's talk about her body healing, her Reiki. I think that like having telekinetic powers is the best power to have, because if I was at a dance, spoiler, the show ends with...
Do we want to spoil the very, very end?
We don't have to. Okay. She thinks...
It's
she's also
mind-blowing ending.
Yeah, she's not sure if she causes nosebleeds in people that she doesn't like and things like that. But I don't know. I have to say it. If I was at a dance and somebody's head exploded in front of me, I would not immediately think somebody did this with their mind. Right. So I think it's, and I also think it's one of those powers that somebody can be like, did you blow up his head with your mind? And you're like, nope, totally didn't. No.
It's pretty plausible deniability.
Come at me, bro. Like, no, I did not.
Do you want to test that?
I did not blow up his head with my mind. And
yeah, no jury would convict her.
I was like, why?
But I do. Yeah. I think if I came into that power at age 16 or whatever, I would be quite awkward about it. Just like I was with everything that happened to me in those years. It would be terrifying.
Yes.
She doesn't know how to control it.
Yeah.
She killed Banana.
I know. That was.
RIP to a real one.
Oh, greatest animal actor since Nacho in season 4 of Transparent. The hedgehog dies and you see the little kid holding the hedgehog and the hedgehog was like clenching one fist and I was like, was that stage direction? Did they tell Banana to hold it over your heart?
They trained a hedgehog to play dead.
I'm just saying that it seemed a little, they're doing wonderful things with CGI nowadays. That's all I can.
Speaking of the minor characters, how great was her little brother?
Adorable.
So cute.
Really, really adorable. Two things going for him that I don't like. Blonde and curly. I still thought he was adorable.
It's like a little baby Bob Ross.
He was very, very sweet.
And like kind of a precious little role that I think is hard to pull off for a child actor without being really obsequious.
Yeah.
Annoying, but very, just a very sweet depiction.
Yeah.
A little kid who can do like a deadpan is.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Also a talent. That kid's going places for sure.
Let's do another song. And then when we come back, we'll talk more about this.
The powers and the central mystery at the heart of the show about her dad.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to hear Jesse's Girl or The King of Rock and Roll?
King of Rock and Roll, obviously.
All right. Stay tuned. And when we come back, we will talk more about I Am Not Okay With This.
All the pathos you can For the children in the street, for the vision I've had. Yes, sweet thing. New broom, this room is sweet and clean.
Back to TV on the radio. I'm ashamed to say that I did not know about Prefab Sprout until watching this show, but that's a bop.
But now you celebrate their entire catalog.
I plan on it.
Yep.
Yes.
We did get a tweet from listener Steven. Thank you so much for listening and tweeting. He said that the kid, the little brother, looks like a young version of the head antique researcher.
Oh, Art Garfunkel.
Yeah.
We've been rewatching Detectorists. Which still makes me tear up.
So delightful.
So good. Have you seen Carrie?
Yeah, years and years
Same.
Ago.
I watched it in like high school. This show made me think like if Carrie had like a supportive Stanley and Dina and like a mom who was maybe tough on her, but not like ritualistically abusive.
Sure, maybe, didn't lock her in cupboards and stuff. Yeah.
Maybe the prom would have gone differently.
Right?
That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
I did think that there's a scene where Sid and Dina are kind of in a fight, kind of making up mm-hmm. in a weird like friend space. And Sid's hiding in the bathroom. And Dina tosses her a tampon,
mm-hmm.
which I thought that was an allusion to the first scene in Carrie when she's being pelted with tampons in the locker room. Except instead of like this abusive bullying, it was this supportive gesture,
yeah.
which I thought was very sweet.
Yeah. I also do like that the telekinetic powers were not used to set the entire school aflame, right. but targeted directly to the tormentor. Yes. So, I mean, you know, good for her.
Yeah. I mean, by the time Carrie burned the gym down, she had, like, really been pushed to the edge, whereas Sid, like, was having a tough time, but, you know, had some people around her to help her out.
To mitigate it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe all of Stanley Barber.
Yeah. did you want to talk about her the revelation that her father maybe had the same powers as her.
Sure. The bigger revelation within that revelation was that he was a secret Marine, right. Which, as you pointed out.
No. So, yeah, it was a revelation to her that he was in the military. And my first thought was no Marine, no matter how, like, riddled with PTSD or, like,
how many of their squad they accidentally blew up with their telekinetic powers.
Just would never keep it a secret from his family or anyone else that he was in the Marines. That guy would have been out there getting his military discount and getting thanked for his service until the day he died. It's just not. I mean, truly, I think it's so much a part of your identity that, like, you're not going to hide that you were in the Marines.
Yeah.
If you agree. The proud. The annoying.
He hung himself in the basement.
Yes.
And yes, there was the mom was talking about how his entire squad died except for him.
Mm-hmm.
Some type of explosive device, maybe his mind. But see, that's what I'm saying. He got away with it. I mean, nobody can. You can just. I don't. I'm not advocating Sid joining the Marines so she can get away with blowing people up, but, you know, just saying. I also do like at the end, so there's a shadowy figure who appears that I was surprised by because it's going to sound silly now that I say it, but, like, I was on board for the telekinetic stuff, not the actual superhero mentor relationship that would come with that.
So let's talk about the sort of pacing of this show, because that character, the whatever presence, pops up for the first time I think in episode 4, and there are 7 episodes, and I was like, whoa, really? Like, we're introducing a whole other like level of
supernatural level
in episode 4, and then we get to the end and that character finally reveals himself to her. She sort of felt like something's following her for the latter half of the season, and then, you know, it's sort of like, okay, now this story is just beginning.
Yeah.
And it really, there's no resolution to anything. Not any of her relationships, not like what's going to happen after she blew someone up at a school dance. And I mean, I'm okay with that. It definitely was like a huge cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Which feels, it's quite the gamble for a show that's not been picked up for a second season, so
it's on Netflix, Jess.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously it will, but you never know. Steven was very mad that it ended with no resolution. I feel like a lot of shows we watch kind of hedge their bets, right? It can be an unfinished story, but they do like kind of wrap up some things, so if it doesn't ever get picked up for another season, it'll still be this self-contained in a way thing.
I did feel like it sort of wrapped it up in a weird way. Really? I mean, no, obviously it didn't. The thing is, it makes you immediately want to know what happens next.
Yeah.
So there's no way there's not going to be a second season. But aside from that, Stan had been telling her, you know, has your mentor appeared to you yet to tell you, like, how to use this power?
Right.
And that was a hilarious scene with them in the bowling alley. There was a montage where he's like, okay, pop the kernels.
He's done research to try to help her figure out why this is happening. And she finds out his research is just reading comic
books. Yeah, which was great.
And so he flips through them and is like, so have you had a spider bite?
Yeah.
Fallen into radioactive goo?
Yeah, he was, that kid is so funny. He's funny. And then he switched to, she told him that she kissed someone else at the party, and the heartbreak that washed over him while he tried to keep it cool was just so touching. And also, that's the other thing, no men are emotionally aware enough to keep that shit to themselves.
Stormed out of the bowling alley
to keep that shit to themselves. Yeah, they're not still focused on helping you out.
Sorry, back to his testing her powers.
Which was a delightful scene. But he's testing her powers, and then he says, you know, has your mentor showed up? And then when the mentor shows up, he, in his wobbly smoke voice, says, they should be afraid. And I was like, oh, shit, like, is she evil?
Yes.
Like, and that's not the direction I was expecting it to go in. But I immediately wanted to see what was going to happen next. I was like, I wish there were, you know, 20 episodes of this show. This was a show that I could have kept watching, and Yeah, I was fine with it. I didn't care that that's how it ended.
Yeah.
Mainly because I assume that Netflix is just going to back up the money truck and keep making it.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be a second season. Yeah, what else? If you had telekinetic powers, whose head would you blow up first?
Oh, whose head wouldn't I blow up? I feel like it. Yeah, it'd be a bad scene because there's people just driving. Some guy that like cuts me off. The guy in the U-Haul van in front of me who cut me off twice this morning.
Twice.
Would have absolutely been blown up.
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like it's a lot. It's a lot to clean up. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe just the nosebleed to start.
Yeah, if you're always around when people's heads are getting blown up, then they are going to be looking at you. So, I don't know. Okay. Whose head would you blow up first?
I mean, kind of same. Like, whose head wouldn't I blow up?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Have you...
you know who just popped up? I'm not even going to say it.
Who?
Moby. That just popped into my mind.
Sure.
He's a vegan. I'm not going to blow his head up. He is annoying.
Worthy target.
What's the best homecoming slow jam for the slow dance?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I don't know about what's the best homecoming slow jam, but I do want to say that. So they played Jesse's Girl. All the music was like throwback to the 80s, early 90s. And Dina at the party was like, I love this song. And she got up and they were dancing to it. Mm-hmm. And nobody was mouthing the words. And I had a real problem with that because if you love a song, you cannot help but mouth the words.
Yeah, as especially if you were drinking at a party, you would be singing very loud.
Yes, and then I was like, oh, none of these actual teens, as right. I now know, actually know the words to Jesse's Girl. But what do you think is the best slow jam for your homecoming?
More Than Words.
Yeah, Eternal Flame's good too.
Oh,
yeah.
Is this
burning? Yeah. Let's talk about the detention episode for a bit. So there's a caper in the middle of this.
So if I've seen The Breakfast Club, it's been a really long time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've ever seen that movie start to finish.
Really?
Yeah.
I watched it 18 years ago, maybe. but consciously as an adult watched it to see what all the fuss was about.
And?
Yeah.
I feel like that's not my favorite John
Hughes
movie.
Yeah, it's not that great. But, yes, this was definitely an homage to The Breakfast Club. There were lots of scenes of long hallways with, like, the teacher just about to come around the corner. There was a scene that was, I think, a direct lift where they're sitting on the counter.
Oh, yeah.
Which, yeah, if I recall correctly, was a direct lift from The Breakfast Club. But, they have Dina is sort of on the outs.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sid unexpectedly kissed her at the party.
Yeah.
And they bring her in, Stanley and Sid bring her into this plot to get the video from the library where Sid has blown all the books off the library. And
when their caper was going to be getting someone to seduce the janitor, essentially to get the key to the principal's office, I thought that's why they had introduced that Jen character, who is like just a very one-dimensional bully who is like
came back from rehab and slept with Brad.
Yeah, who kind of whirled in one episode and then was gone after this. I thought that was going to be her redemption arc, is like getting her to seduce the janitor because she was a sexy character. But they did nothing with her.
No, and that was great.
She's just mean.
So the scene was Dina then goes in to seduce the janitor and bends over, and the janitor is like, I find your behavior problematic. I'm married and I'm gay. Yeah. And just the whole thing was, just really turned that trope on its head and was very like, you're better than this. And she was like, you're right. You know, he's like, just ask for the keys. And
Carl's here to help a girl out.
Yeah. So many of those capers do hinge on like ridiculous things like that. This started with a burrito bomb and Stanley laying out the elaborate plan to like have a burrito bomb go off in the microwave. And
which, give me a break, there's no burritos in Pennsylvania.
Exactly. Well, there's 7-Eleven, so I don't know. But
if you had to make do with eating dinner at the corner market, what do you go for? the hot dog.
Oh, absolutely.
I would just get some Lucky Charms.
Yeah. Also, her mom worked at a diner. You could just go eat there.
Yeah.
Probably have really good food there.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe that ties in with the end of the world being set at a diner also.
Yeah, I did get, like, there was a moment when they had a shot of them eating at the diner where I thought it was the diner from mm-hmm. the end of the, like, the same set.
Yeah.
It looked very similar. But yeah, probably not, since I presume End of the Fucking World was filmed in England.
Sure.
If you, like, had nothing to be afraid of and just total freedom, what do you put in your mac and cheese?
Oh, yeah. That scene was very disturbing.
It was horrifying.
That kid
listed... But that little kid who looks like he's about 8 years old, yeah. like, standing on a stool making dinner was just mm-hmm. so cute.
Yeah, really, really cute. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Girl Scout cookies, I guess.
Lucky Charms
just
for me.
throwing some Samoas in there.
That actually might not be bad.
Yeah, I mean, coconut, right? Caramel, I don't know. But yes, that was the most supernatural element that the dish he made would taste good.
Yeah.
That was the most unbelievable part of the show for me.
Totally. This is just a stray observation, but I thought, so the hedgehog dies and they mm-hmm. have a little funeral for him, and she and her little brother are both wearing little black blazers, which mm-hmm. I just thought was so funny. And then it occurred to me, like, they only have those blazers because they had to go to their dad's funeral last
yeah.
year. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, it's so poignant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did also like the scene. So she and her mom are not getting along throughout the whole show. And mm-hmm. she even talks about how, I don't even know why, like, just everything is annoying. And I definitely had that type of, like, contentious, like, casually cruel relationship yeah. with my mom where, you know, sure. and I think it's definitely a female dynamic with teen girls and their moms. And
I had it with both my parents, but yeah.
Yeah. No, I just had it with my mom. And yeah, where you're like such a bitch and you truly don't even know why. And yeah. I thought they had a nice redemptive moment at where she's getting ready for the school dance mm-hmm. and the mom doesn't actually call her a whore and lock her yeah. in a closet. So, you know, they had a nice little nice chat and it was
yeah.
it was nice to have that like redemptive moment. But I thought there was a scene where they were in the diner and she was with Dina and Dina went to pay for the bill and the mom was like, no, I got it. And she's like, you always make me pay for my breakfast. And then she's like, well, I like her better than yeah. you. And it's just this, yeah, you get into and you see the hurt on Sid's face. Yeah. And it's just like you do get into that like casually cruel relationship with people that you, I guess, feel safest to express that with, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was just a lot about it that really rang true to me. Stan has a trucker dad who's on the road most of the time and then no mom. So how did Stan get so woke?
Yeah, I don't know. It was very briefly that we saw that Stan's dad is like pretty much just a cruel drunk.
Yeah.
And there's no
beat him up. And
oh, really? Did he?
Well, when he had that, when he had the black eye and the eye cut. That was
I thought that was from slamming on the brakes when he was trying not to run over Sid with his car.
I thought it was from the dad.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Oh.
Okay.
Maybe I was reading too much into it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, then he stood up to the dad when he was walking out to the dance.
Okay.
And his dad kind of backed down. And you saw that, like, dynamic shift.
Hmm. Okay. I totally didn't pick up on that. It was very...
subtle.
It was, yeah.
They or maybe I'm just reading into it.
Speaking of Stan's house, how... amazing. Yeah. His room is like a fabulous 50s wood panel basement
yep.
where he apparently has a little bar where he makes martinis in proper glassware. Mm-hmm. I would happily lose my virginity in such
accommodation. Absolutely. Yes, using his Anya t-shirt as a pillow. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was really something.
A respectable VHS collection.
Stan was a trip. And every time he pulled up in the car and
oh my
slowly
God.
Rolled the window down.
I wrote in my notes that like window rolling down slowly would be funny if they did it 1,000 times.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
So good.
And she's like, just wait. Just wait.
Yeah, that kid was funny. I highly recommend this show. He's
yeah.
really totally a star.
Yeah, and it was really charming. And... Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, I was surprised by the sort of supernatural. I mean, I don't know why I was surprised by the smoky guy and not surprised by the telekinetic powers, but
yeah,
that seemed more of a world with it than the smoky guy. I don't know. I'm waiting for this to veer off into Captain Marvel.
Yeah,
territory.
Well, it's funny. Like the show itself kind of alludes to superhero origin story, mm-hmm. and it does. That's not what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
it doesn't, it feels like it's very much grounded in a normal world, which I guess a lot of superheroes, you know, they're always surprised to find out they have powers, mm-hmm. but it's not like a Marvel comic or a Marvel movie where it's like Spider-Man's finding out he has supernatural powers in a world where Batman and Superman already exist.
Yeah.
You know,
it's yeah.
like, this is like, feels very much like reality and it didn't feel like that. Maybe
yeah.
the second season will feel more like a superhero story. I can't really see it. I don't see her like deciding to fight crime.
Training montages yeah. with her trying to yeah harness her power. Yeah.
But yeah, I will definitely watch a second season. And I
likewise.
I only regret that it'll probably take a year for that to happen.
Wyatt Olaf is really, really something.
Yeah,
to behold.
I think I am gonna watch it.
Patrick Dempsey is that.
That's his
that guy's
name. TV's Patrick Dempsey.
TV's Patrick Dempsey. yeah, he's. That kid is really magnetic.
He plays the young Patrick Dempsey character? He plays a young version of some other character in It, I think. Anyway, this is not
Patrick Dempsey's not in It.
I thought that's why we're talking about
him. Oh, no. I just, when I saw him first, he reminded me of Patrick Dempsey in Can't Buy Me Love specifically because he also wore sweaters. I don't know. I don't recall Can't Buy Me Love super clearly, but
well, that's
I got real Patrick Dempsey vibes.
Gentlemen, get yourselves the cardigan.
Does Wyatt Olaf play a young Bill Hader? If only there was some way for us to find this out.
We'll get to the bottom of this.
So what else are you watching?
We were talking briefly about Love is Blind before we started the show, which maybe we'll talk about next week.
What
that
a
shit
travesty.
Is crazy. Did I tell you I saw Birds of Prey? The Harley Quinn movie.
Oh, no. Did you enjoy
it? I fucking loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
Good.
I saw it with two other people, one of whom was middling on it and one of whom did not like it. So quite the Goldilocks situation. I thought it was so fun. It was, I recommend it.
Yeah, big love for Margot Robbie.
Talk about magnetic.
Yes.
She is really something to behold. And it's a weird... kind of a weird role, but she really shines through. I won't spoil much, but there's a scene where she has kind of a tragically loses a breakfast sandwich.
Oh,
and I
so relatable.
never related more to a supervillain. Yeah, what else are you watching?
We started Love is Blind, and mm-hmm. that is now going to be my full-time job until I can get past my intense, like, full body reaction to the cringiness that is that show. And
just the first episode.
I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but my husband during the first episode specifically said that I had a problem with it because I'm just not romantic and don't like romance or people expressing affection. And then I was like, no, this is some social experiment bullshit. Like, can you imagine telling your kids we met in the facility? Like, but by episode two, he was fully on board that this was fucked. This is not romantic. Crazy. Any of you who are watching Love is Blind thinking that this is romantic, it's many things, but romantic
I had
is not
some
one
weird,
of them.
I watched the second episode maybe a little bit high, and so I had a heightened reaction to the emotions, but I did sort of like, I don't think it's romantic. It's definitely a sick experiment, but
it's not necessarily a sick experiment. It's no worse than any other way to meet somebody, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, except they're committing to getting married before they've seen each other. But it is interesting the way people change their behavior when they're only, when they can't see each other and they're only connecting based on talking. I don't know. I mean, I guess many an internet relationship was born in quite the same way, but. It's not a reality show about that, so fuck it. So tune in next week. Maybe we'll talk about that. Anything else on your radar?
Nothing. Just watching. Maybe I'll watch it. Maybe I'll watch it. Episode 2. He plays Stanley Uris, I guess.
Oh, right. I read some interview with him where he said something about how he's only ever going to play Stanleys.
It's really working for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a very good Stanley.
He's an awesome Stanley. Cool. Yeah, I'm into it. You guys should all watch I Am Not Okay With This.
Yeah.
Currently streaming on Netflix.
Yes. All right. Well, I guess we'll leave you with that. Thank you guys so much for listening. Keep it locked here for Indie Rock Girl Radio and listen to BFF.FM for the rest of the day. Could do worse. And everyone, wash your hands.
Yes. Please.
Apparently the best thing you can do to keep the spread of various plagues. So wash your hands and then wash them again.
And don't touch your face.
Oh, God. So hard.
That's very hard.
If you do, wash your hands again. all right. stay safe and we'll see you next week.
In the starlit nights I saw you, so cruelly you kissed me. Your lips a magic world, your sky all hung with jewels. The killing moon will come too soon. Fate up against your will. Give yourself